Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the privilege to come to your house this morning. And Father, we pray as we read, may your Holy Spirit help us to receive what you have prepared for us. So, Father, into your hands we place our time together. And Father, we pray against any distraction, against something that will take away what you have prepared for us. We pray that you could be, where we could be focused. So, Father, into your hands we place our time together. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today is the Sunday after Easter. The Sunday after Easter. And last Sunday, the churches were full. Most of the churches have two or three services. And people were shouting, "He is risen." Well, we're still shouting. I thought that you had forgotten completely. He is risen. And, but maybe Monday came, Tuesday, and we went back to Friday in some cases. And sometimes we were saying that last Sunday that the resurrection is a present and future hope. And sometimes we just left it there. And that's what happened perhaps in with the disciples. It has been wonderful when they walked with Jesus. Suddenly some of them, the women saw Jesus and they were so happy. And that Sunday, they saw the risen Lord and they were so overjoyed. They were so happy. But then Monday came. And then the only fact, the official report was that the disciples had stolen the body away. Where is the body of Jesus? And they were wondering, well, what should they do now? It seems the best to call for a church meeting to find out what was happening. Bring the women to tell us. Peter and John, the disciples who were coming back from when they saw the risen Lord. Well, it was a group of anxious disciples that perhaps, like some of us, that we start the week and again we went back to the normal routine, back to work, back with the same problems. Their Easter Sunday night, the risen Lord is there. And that's what we read here in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 20. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the door locked and fear of the Jewish leader, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed then his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah, is the Lord. He is risen indeed. What an unexpected blessing it was to experience the living presence of the Lord himself. He gave himself shalom, peace be with you. The risen Lord is there. And breathe on his disciples, the Holy Spirit. You never know what could happen in a Sunday evening service. So when we miss the Sunday evening, we could be missing something. That's what happened to them. And then it was the risen Lord. It was hallelujah because these anxious disciples, they were able to rejoice with the Lord. But then the fact is that we have the absent Thomas. Verse 24 says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And Some scholar says, perhaps for Thomas, the cross was only he expected. For it is interesting when we, you remember when Jesus was called to go back to Bethany because Lazarus was not well. And Jesus says, well, we need to go there. We're reading John chapter 11, verse 16 said, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Very pessimistic. But Thomas loved the Lord, and he was willing to die with him. We know the story. The others, even Peter, the strong man. But that's Thomas. And maybe the only thing he expected is that Jesus will die. Now Jesus has been crucified. He's dead. So that's what happened. They said, well, my Lord is dead. He's brokenhearted. He's so sad that he could not meet the eyes of people. He wanted to be alone. But what about the Thomas in our time? I wonder why Thomas wasn't in church in the Sunday evening service. Perhaps it was a good movie on the Sky. Perhaps Manchester United is playing Arsenal today. And is it? Manchester City? I'm sorry. I didn't read properly. Perhaps you have a barbecue, your friends came, and then you are so tired to go back to the Sunday evening service. Perhaps you have some business to do. He stayed at home. Whatever the reason for his absence, he missed a great blessing. So it happened that when Jesus came back again, Thomas was not there. That could happen, that Jesus is coming back in a Sunday evening service. The next thing we read here is the weakness of disciples. And then John chapter 20 verse 25 says, so the other disciple told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his eyes, I will not believe. Thomas was not there, and the news that Jesus has come back seems to him far too good to be true. That's just not, and refused to believe it. The whole week after Easter, Thomas was on the prayer list because he hasn't been to church, and we are praying for Thomas. On Monday or Tuesday, Peter went with John, said, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Hey, well, yes, okay, I'm going to believe this if something is not right, if I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands on his side, I will not believe it. It's interesting that there is no mention of any wound print in Jesus' feet, because in crucifixion, the feet were usually not nailed, but only loosely bound to the cross. So maybe be careful with the movies we see sometimes but here there is no mention. And then Mary comes to visit Thomas, say, I saw the Lord, he was talking to me. Hey, you only have an emotional experience here, Mary. And psychology says that when we have an emotional experience, we see the things we want to see, we hear the things we want to hear. So now Thomas is a psychologist here. And he said, wow, you have an emotional experience. I will not believe it. Poor Thomas, see what doubt he had by missing church last Sunday evening. But the story of doubting Thomas does not end here. Let's carry on, reading. The Sunday after Easter, verses in John chapter 20, verses 26 to 29, we have the account, the full account. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Praise the Lord, Thomas has come back to the Sunday evening service. So the Lord, to the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hands and put it into myself. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord,
my God. Then Thomas told him, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. On the blessed patience and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he did not write Thomas off. He would not let him go in doubting faith. How tenderly the Lord stooped to Thomas' demands. Come on, do it. Be not faithless, but believing. Faithless here means a state of contentment with disbelief. I don't believe. Don't believe. And a settled condition of doubt. This is the danger of missing church. This is the danger when we don't have fellowship. Your faith cools off. The joy you once knew in Christian service and fellowship is lost. You begin to deny and doubt and grumble. You don't come to church and it seems that you know more than the people coming to church. You start criticizing. That's the danger. That's the danger here. But now we have Thomas' confession of faith. Don't let your faith cool off. Have fellowship with one another. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. This is the cry of personal faith. Thomas is not quoting somebody else. He is personal. It's his own convictions. My Lord and my God, being in church the Sunday after Easter, have done something to Thomas. He had a fresh vision of the risen Lord. He made a rededication of his life. His faith was revived. What Thomas says became the pattern of confessions of all believers. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Other people call him teacher, good rabbi. A miracle worker, the son of David. But Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Here, somebody said, it's the statement. It's not only the culmination of belief, it is also the climax of the gospel. When a person is searching and says, my Lord and my God, is the climax of the gospel. In the Old Testament, we have David. David says these words in Psalm 35, verse 23. He says, I wake and rise to my defense, contend for me, my God and Lord. King David says, my God and my Lord. And perhaps Thomas knew these words as an Israelite. He knew these words. He learned at the synagogue that David says that. So Thomas will never apply these words to any person who he believed was not God. And Jesus did not rebuke him. Jesus will rebuke if something was wrong. Thomas will have rebuked him, but he didn't. And now John, the writer of this gospel, if you notice John chapter 1, verse 1, how he starts his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We could say, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus, God's God. Thomas realized that he is God. Now, when John wrote this gospel, was in a time, some people say it was in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a city that the center of emperor worship. And then Julius Caesar, the one who said, I came and I saw and I conquered. And now we will have his fans and followers. They will say, Caesar is Lord, Caesar is God. So maybe John is leaving, the writer of this gospel is leaving, that he was familiar with processions of fans and followers. And they says, Caesar is Lord, Caesar is God. But now, in the middle of the pagan context, Thomas articulates the cry that arises in the heart of every true Christian. What is it that every true Christian should cry? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. That is in the middle of that context. Our Lord in our God. I like when we change the words of the song. Our God and our Lord. That is happening here in the first century. Thomas' challenge is our challenge today, to make the same brave witness in the face of the many lords with small case letters and many gods of our generation, our jobs, our culture, our society. We are living in a multicultural society. And now we need to be very careful about being politically correct. It's a challenge. There are some places that when people read some verses from the Bible about some issues, they will be sent to prison. In Ireland, you heard some cases when a preacher was preaching something about a particular theme. It's in internet, this is. Yeah. So there's a challenge for us. Because our society has many lords and many gods that will challenge us. So what is it that is our cry? Jesus. Jesus. It's a challenge for us. Many in the face of false lords and gods, we are called to exalt in our worship and commitment to the one and only who is worthy of our worship, our Lord and our God. Now here, as we read about Thomas, today many churches are reading about this passage, we could identify Thomas' virtues and a mistake. So there are two good things here and one mistake. The first, let me check the mistake here. Some scholars said that one of his mistakes is that he withdrew from Christian fellowship. Shall we read that? He withdrew from Christian fellowship. Shall we say it together? And that's what many people do in our churches. He wanted to be alone. He wanted to face his suffering and his sorrow alone. He saw loneliness than togetherness. Therefore, because he was not there with his fellow Christians, he missed the first coming of Jesus. We miss a great deal of blessings when we separate ourselves from the Christian fellowship. Sometimes we cannot do anything about it. Sometimes maybe we are unwell. We have to go to hospital. We are waiting for an appointment. We are bound. We cannot leave home fair enough. But some people say, oh, I have God channel. And I have a wonderful Sunday morning service. The speaker is better. The music is wonderful. And I want to worship on my own. Oh, I have a radio. And it's a wonderful service on the radio. I will not mention any radio because maybe, so I am so happy to worship on my own. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 said, let's read together. I like when we read it because we will remember. They said, and let us. What is it? Do not give up meeting together. Things can happen to us within the fellowship of Christ. Christ's church, Christ's disciples, which will not happen when we are alone. When sorrow knocks at our door and sadness is present in our lives, we often tend to shut ourselves up and we don't want to meet people. That is the best time when, in spite of our sorrow and pain, we should seek the fellowship of Christ's people, for it is there in the midst of the fellowship that we are likeliest of all to meet God face to face, in the middle of worship. But here also we have Thomas shows two great virtues. And the first one, and I like this one, he was honest. He was honest. First, he absolutely refused to say that he understood what he did not understand, to believe that he didn't, what something that he did not believe. He was honest. There was something, an uncompromising honest about him. He would not cover his doubts by pretending that they were not there. He would not repeat a creed without understanding the meaning of the words. Thomas wanted to be sure. When I was at work, went to university, then I left it. I went to the Navy, and I used to meet with many people. And some of my friends, they will not go to church. And then sometimes when we become friends, some of them, they will say, you know, how is possible that people could go to churches in the past? You remember when the church, the messages were given in Latin. And Latin was for educated people. Not everyone will speak Latin. And then what happened is these people will come every Sunday, they say, and they will go, they have no understanding. So I say, we will not believe it. I will not believe it, Freddie. And let me tell you, a couple of them that I still remember, they were very against Christianity. They will ridicule my faith. Because they said, this is for poor people. For stupid people. That's where they were. Because they said, they don't know. I want to know, Thomas. Now they are wonderful Christians because they have met the risen Lord. And I appreciate when people say to me, I don't believe that. That rubbish. Those are their words. I'm quoting. William Barclay says, there is more ultimate faith in the man, or let's say woman, because this is written years ago, who insists on being sure that in the man who glibly repeats things which he has never thought out and which he may not really believe, it is doubt like that which in the end arrives a certainty. Are you Thomas this morning? That you are here and you wonder, I'm not sure about this. I have seen many Thomas, and I praise the Lord that this Thomas has an encounter with the risen Lord. The second virtue here is that he persevered. Thomas arrived at an absolute certainty, for he said, my Lord and my God. He doesn't say Lord and God. No, he said, my Lord and my God. His conviction appeared after he was honest and he persevered. If you doubt about Christianity, carry on, my friend. Carry on. Don't believe me. Don't believe your friends or those preachers. Carry on praying, seeking, because you will find the risen Lord. You will find Thomas arrived to that wonderful place. But then the Lord bless him. But Thomas, as he arrived to that truth, he not only joined the disciples in Jerusalem. We could read about Thomas, but I'm not going to read those verses. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, at 5, verse 12, at 6, verse 2, at 8, verse 1, at 15, verse 2, that Thomas was working in the church now in Jerusalem. And now, according to fairly reliable traditions, Thomas also took the gospel eastwards to India. And he laid down his life there for his Lord and his God. Jesus knew what was happening to him. What was passing through Thomas' mind. He knows our doubts. He knows what are you thinking at this moment. The details and circumstances. If Jesus allowed the doubter Thomas to worship him as God and Lord, we should yield ourselves to him in adoration. Sometimes, like Thomas, we are weak and ignorant and we doubt. But Jesus spoke a beatitude in verse 29. He said, Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. They said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It's a beatitude. So when you believe, when you arise to have faith, Jesus says, blessed, you are blessed Thomas was able to believe because he saw and touched. Is that what we do not see, that is the strength of our heart? Those things that we do not see. Are you waiting for a miracle? Trust. Trust. The Apostle Paul says later, in his letter to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is what? Temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. Some people come to the Lord because they say, oh, we have beautiful churches and cathedrals. Sometimes my heart breaks, you know, and when you see these places that were worshiped and then churches are empty and they are closed and they are converted in something else. Maybe some people they believe that's where God is. No, we are to believe. It is what we do not see that is the strength of our hearts. Faith. Faith. We are called to have faith, and that is what Thomas was called to have. There is a danger in seeing and making sight of the satisfaction of curiosity and then being content with it. Okay, touching may help faith, but seeing and touching may help, but they will not produce it. Years later, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 8 to 9 says, "For you have not seen him," that's talking about us, "you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul." He wants to bring us salvation. That's the most important in our lives. Healing. Okay, success in your studies, fair enough, your careers, the salvation of our souls. That's what Jesus came to preach, repentance. At the end of this chapter, as I conclude today, at the end of this chapter, chapter 20, there is an invitation to faith. The purpose of the Apostle John is clear in verses 30 and 31 of the chapter 20. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written for what? That we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John's purpose is clear and the challenge is firm as he reaches his conclusion. Jesus is Lord and God. In the life of his presentations through the gospel signs, where do we stand? Is Jesus the Lord? Is Jesus your God? Or Jesus is like another building in our society, like going to the library because we need a book, like going to the pub because you need a drink, you're going to the church because you need a lift. John invites us to believe, to have faith in him by committing ourselves personally to Jesus as our Christ and our Lord. He is not inviting us to sign us to be a members of a particular church, to be members of a particular denomination, to practice a particular liturgy, to be part of an exclusive denomination. No. Like Thomas, we are called to respond personally to Jesus, to declare him the Lord and God of our life, trusting his death as that of God's sacrificial lamb to atone for our sins. I cannot get on. You cannot do it. Nobody can do it. He is the only way to the Father. He is the truth. He is the life. Eternal life of God's kingdom is available for us by his grace. But the only demand is trust. The last hint this morning will be, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Not because I am a member of this church. Not because I have been baptized and christened. Not because I go to church every Sunday or because I am a deacon or a minister. No, because he lives. I call you to such a faith and joy today, this Sunday after Easter. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the Resurrection Sunday was a wonderful time for the disciples when they saw you, but then perhaps like us, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they start feeling again anxious about if it was true or not. Father, I pray for ourselves that we will be able to reach to the climax of the gospel, that we could declare you every day that you are our Lord, that you are our God. Father, I pray for that person who is still searching, who is listening today, that he or she will not stop searching like Thomas, that he or she will persevere. And may your Holy Spirit help this person to come to the most wonderful statement, that this person could declare that you are his or her Lord, his or her God. So, Father, help us to trust in you and obey your word so we could live the resurrection every day in our lives. Amen.